talking about, well, we sure hope it's take two with Jerry and Debbie. We just love this show because you drive the show with your calls, with your takes. We introduce the topics and then you take it to great heights. And you've been doing it for over 4.5 years and we just thank you for that. I'm Debbie Giorgiani along with Jerry Usher and the show team is in place. Rich Jesse, Jeff Burson, Ryan Penny, the Michaels. There's two Michaels, so we call them the Michaels. And everybody's in place and that's just wonderful. And all we have to do is introduce the topic, Jerry, and I just think that we're going to learn before we go into the weekend how to maybe properly tip. Is that what we're talking about today, Jerry?
Yeah, well, we wanted to have a discussion about when you go out for a meal or if you, a bellhop helps you in a hotel or any other environment, any other circumstance in which you receive the aid of somebody else and tipping is expected or it's required. How do you feel about that? How much do you tip? Do you consider yourself a good tipper? Is it based on the service that you get? Do you even withhold tips sometimes because the service wasn't good, the food wasn't good, things like this? So we want to talk about this and just, as Debbie always says, come away a little bit better and learn a little bit about ourselves. So the number is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And we want those that are in the hospitality industry. It's a broad term for the service industry. Please call in and share with us if part of your job is working for tips. We want to hear from you. What's your perspective? Maybe you can educate us on the proper protocol for that or what the criteria is. Because as we heard earlier, Rich Jesse was saying that it could possibly, there could be a generation gap or something. Maybe, elderly folks think of a certain number that they want to tip. Those that are younger think of a certain number. Is it, 12%, 15%, 18%, 20%, 25%? We want to hear from you. What do you base it on? Do you base it on before tax when you get the bill, before alcohol, after alcohol? I mean, there's so many ways and there's a certain, etiquette, if you will, on the proper tipping and who should be tipped. I think this could be very enlightening for all of us. Plus, it will weave into our spirituality. I shared with Jerry right before we came on the air that, I worked in the hospitality industry for many, many years, almost 13 years. And I will tell you, it's a very humbling experience. I mean, to work for tips, you really have to give it your best, always keep a smile. The customer's always right. You know how that goes. And it's really, it can be something you can grow in virtue of humility. And I think we can weave it into our spirituality. What do you think about that, Jerry? Did you ever work any service jobs?
Not really. No, I grew up working in a grocery store, and I got paid virtually nothing. But there was no tipping. I didn't benefit from any tipping. No, but I have not. But one of my brothers was a bartender for many years, and worked in restaurants and things like that. So I know how dependent he was on the generosity of the people that he served. Mm-hmm. And really, as you said, Debbie, I'd love to hear if you work in the hospitality industry, what is your take on this? How do you approach serving other people? Do you do it, as fervently as you can and dedicate yourself completely to it? Just first of all, just because they deserve it, their dignity is worth it, but also because your tip may depend upon that. 833-288-3986. And Debbie, I find myself in a quandary sometimes. I love to tip. I love to give at least 15%, sometimes 20% and more if I find the service was exceptional and the food and all that. When I get into a situation where the service is just lousy, they're unattentive, they don't come around, the food is bad, the waiter or the waitress has a bad attitude, that puts me in a real bind, Debbie, because as a Christian, I want to recognize their worth, their dignity, and I know how much they rely upon the tips. So it puts me in a really, I don't know if you've experienced this, but it puts you in a rough situation because you're going, realistically, they didn't earn a tip. And yet, right. I know how much they need it. So I don't know if you found yourself in that situation.
Oh, all the time. My background is business management, and I was a manager in the hotel industry for many years. And I will tell you, Jerry, that always bothered me. When I would see, you know, the servers, you know, they just were tired. They've been on their feet all day. They maybe pulled double shifts or something of that nature. And so they weren't the most, you know, attentive and fun with the customers. But you know, when I'm on the receiving end of that, what I typically do is I look at how long I've been sitting at their table. You know, did I enjoy the meal, even though their, you know, their personality really wasn't, you know, the most welcoming. I look at all the elements of it, and then I tip based on that. But I do, you've noticed it, I'm sure, Jerry. I do go up and kind of give them a little friendly advice saying, hey, listen, you look tired. You know, you look like you've been doing a lot. And, you know, just for, you know, just make a future note of this that, you know, I worked in the hospitality industry, so I'm going to still tip you what I would normally tip. But, you know, other folks will gauge, you know, they'll gauge their tips on your attitude. And I'll tell you, I've had so many servers go, you know, you're right. I'm just tired. I just want to go home. And I said, I know, but you know, that's going to translate into how much money you can earn. And so I always do that just because it's a friendly thing, but I don't, the only time I ever really have lowered my tip level is when somebody was just downright mean. And that has happened a couple times when we've been traveling, Jerry, and I'm like, you know, this is just not going to fly. And then at that point, I usually call the manager over and tell them that they definitely should keep an eye on this particular person. And that's just me. But that's from my restaurant background. So I don't know. How about you? How do you determine, you know, at what level you give? Do you base it on the person's personality and how they treat you?
Yeah, not so much the personality, just the service. And it can sound like kind of the self-importance, you know, like, hey, you didn't serve me very well, I'm not going to tip you. I look at them and I try to look at them, you know, through my Christian eyes, you know, and like I said before, see that they are dependent upon the tip in many cases. And I like you, I will say something very kind, you know, politely and charitably sometimes if there's an opportunity to do that. But no, I will tip anyway, in more cases than not, just because I think that's, you know, the right thing to do. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. I'd love to hear from somebody who works in this industry.
Yeah. And some, you know, if you're a manager in the hotel or restaurant arena, please call us and share what it's like for you from, you know, I'm sure you get called over to many tables and people complain about your servers and complain about the busboys and stuff like that. And you know what? It is what it is. You know, people's personalities, and they bring with them everything that they're dealing with when they are in the service industry. It's very true. But we want to talk about, how do you determine what you leave them in gratuity? It's very important. You'll see how it weaves into our Christianity when we come back.
Great to have you wrapping up a week of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie with us live today. I'm Jerry Escher along with Debbie Giorgiani. I'm actually in San Diego. I'll be on location again this afternoon at Catholic Answers, hosting Catholic Answers Live, as I did with Jimmy Akin for 2 hours yesterday. So if you get a chance to tune in, that's 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on most of these same EWTN stations. And right before that, Cresta in the Afternoon will air again this afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Al Cresta, very good friend of ours and very, very informed on what's going on in the church and in the world. So don't miss Cresta in the Afternoon this afternoon at 4 Eastern Time.
Okay, so we're going to go right to the phones. Believe it or not, it is true, though. It's always true here on Take Two. We got full phone lines. So when a line becomes open, please jump on it at 833-288-3986 and share your, I guess, recipe, if you will, of how you gauge what you give as in forms of gratuity. Okay, Suzanne is up first in the great state of Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Suzanne. Thanks for being first up and welcome to Take Two.
Hi there. I'm so glad to talk to you. I love your show. I listen
Thank
to
you.
It whenever I'm in the car. I can't get you on the radio at home, so and I don't spend much time on my computer, so that's, yeah, kind of a wash. But anyway, I was interested in the topic today because my daughter used to work as a waitress. In fact, she got herself the courage to leave home and support herself the first time as a waitress and then put herself through college that way. So tips are important to me, and I've seen people who tip inappropriately. I had a friend once who used to tip a barmaid a dollar a beer, and that was way back when beer wasn't much more than a dollar, but every time somebody brought something to the table, they got a dollar. But he'd tip a dinner waitress who had served four people a dollar, and I said, ooh, you know what, that's not right. So I generally tip, I figure, 20 to 25%. Mm-hmm. If the service is really poor, I'll drop it down to 16. But that's, you know, basically I figure that's 1/6 of the bill. And that's how I calculate it. I don't want to mess with percentages. And so I either divide the amount in by five or by four, and that's what I tip.
Wow. Well, Debbie, I have a just a, I think it's beautiful, Suzanne, that you actually, you have, you know, a personal, I guess, motivation for being the good tipper that you are. And that is, like you said, with your daughter who paid her way through college as a waitress. And I think that's fantastic. And it sounds like you're very, very generous. And, you know, like you said, it was interesting when you said, even if the service is horrible, I think you said you tip about 16%, which is very generous, you know, tip in any circumstance. So, Debbie, it sounds like Suzanne is coming at this from a very understanding and realistic perspective.
Well, I got to tell you, Suzanne, I'm pretty much exactly just like you. That's exactly what I do too. And it's not to say, oh, I, you know, bragging like, oh, we tip 20%, we're big tippers. No, actually it has, it's my understanding, you know, with cost of living and everything that's changed, it has moved from 15 to like 18%, I believe, Suzanne. I think I've heard that, you know, it's moved up, you know, what we yeah, should give for service, you know, for service jobs. And I will tell you, I'm the same way. I put myself, getting my car and going through college and everything all was done through the hospitality industry. And I, you know, I counted on those tips, and it's devastating. And I have to say something for the folks that are doing a really, you know, 110% at their jobs. They're really putting in all this effort. You know, it's devastating when you do that and you get back maybe, you know, 8%, 9%. Sometimes, you know, people will just forget to tip. They'll just walk out of the restaurant or something. It's devastating because you're putting forth a ton of commitment, energy, time, you know, you're focused. And then somebody just, you know, disregards that part or just forgets about that. Now, there can be oversights. I understand that. But there are some people that just walk out thinking, hey, I paid, you know, $20 for a meal. I'm not going to add another $5 to it. So, and that's tough. That's tough for the person that is doing the work. Wouldn't you agree, Suzanne?
Oh, yeah, I would agree. In fact, I decided years ago that if I can't afford to tip appropriately, I shouldn't be eating out. I should be cooking for myself. And that's a real incentive for me to tip well, because
sure,
I'm getting older and cooking is less easy than it used to be. So,
right,
yeah, I just, if you can't afford the tip, you shouldn't be eating.
Yeah,
well, I agree. Can I just say one other thing too? That's very interesting, Suzanne, what you're saying, because a lot of times restaurants will do like 2-for-1 meals, you know, for early bird specials and stuff like that. And people forget that you should be factoring in the full cost of the meals, because that person is still serving two people. You know, you're taking up that table. You remember, the table is everything for servers. You know, you've got to turn those tables you know, and so a lot of times I have to tell you the truth. I never liked serving. I never liked being a waitress during early bird times, because you know, the check would come out to be like $15, you know, and it really was like a $40 meal. And then they'd leave you like a dollar, and they would sit there for an hour. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm never going to pay the car insurance on this.
Yeah. Well, and also our youngest son did a lot of serving, and he got amazing tips. He used to work at Sonic Drive-In. And he would come home with $50 in tips for the night. And it was a shock to me, because I had never thought about serving or paying tips to car hops. I just never had, because they're on salary at Sonic, or they were. So he said, yeah, everybody tips, Mom. I thought, oops, I'm not a good citizen. So I started tipping. But it's so important to them. And my little niece served as a waitress for a long time and used to talk about the families that come in, insist on having separate checks, and then leave a dollar each or no tip, you know, and it just... She had a 12 top one night that walked the check completely, didn't pay anything. So,
oh boy.
It was just hard. Yeah. Really.
Yeah,
hard.
Suzanne, great,
anyway,
great take.
I've got to go into church.
Okay, pray for us, Suzanne, if you would, and we'll hope you have a beautiful experience there.
All righty.
Take two with Jerry and Debbie on this Friday, talking about gratuities of any type in when you get to service, whether it's in a restaurant, a hotel, maybe at the airport, someone checking your bags, 833-288-3986. Real quick, Debbie, you were in that industry. I'm curious, and I think I know the answer to this, but are wages set at a certain level because knowing that the people are going to get tips?
Do
people in the service industry make a little bit less than in other? Okay. All right.
Yes. You get a set wage for, and then the rest of your income comes from tips. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think you're getting, you know, minimum wage or above. And that could sometimes happen. I mean, you can still acquire tips. Like if you go into a retail store, sometimes they may be getting a set wage that is higher. And then they work on commissions. So that's, you know, that's a different situation. That's not like tips, but you know what I'm saying? So sometimes people equate that to, or they relate that to tipping. They say, oh, well, they're getting a higher hourly wage, so it shouldn't matter. That's not true in the service industry. You tend to get way less. And quite honestly, you can't live on that. You just can't. So you really do depend on somebody's, you know, kindness of rewarding your great service. And, you know, Jerry, I just want to say, Rich just typed this over. I've never heard of this before. The acronym TIP comes from the original meaning, comes from to ensure proper service. I never knew that. That's interesting. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes people think, oh, you know, they don't need, the tips are extra. That's not true. That's part of their wage, which is really, it's important. It's a key part of their wage. And plus sometimes people pool tips, Jerry. Now you have to give so much to the bartender. Sometimes you have to give so much to the bussers, you know, so when you pool tips, that's even harder to do.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear what more of you have to say. Sean is next in Florida, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Sean. Welcome to Take Two. What do you think about this?
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I was a bartender for about 20 years. I also did some waiting during that period. And I think what people forget is what you alluded to before, that while I was waiting, I was averaging out my hourly rate, and it was probably between $4 and $5 an hour. And you're not going to go far with that amount. So people, I think, don't realize that the waiter, waitresses really need the tips more than, because the salary really is very small amount.
Right. I totally agree. Yeah. And if you're unsure of it, you know, you can always ask people. I ask people all the time, you know, are you mainly working? Is your salary mainly for tips? And they'll say yes. And you know, at that point, you know, that what you give over to them, it means a lot. It means everything to them. So I ask all the time, and I don't know if you've ever done this, Sean, when you've been a bartender, but even in other elements of life, like even at the bell desk or this or a manager or something, I'll say, are you able to receive tips? And they'll say, no, I can't. I'm management, you know, but you could give it to the busser, you know, that would be great. I'm always asking, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think sometimes people are a little hesitant. They don't know the protocol, so they say nothing at all, and it can be very embarrassing. What do you think about that, Sean? I mean, I have no problem asking somebody, hey, do you work on tips?
I agree with that statement, but the part that makes me really feel uncomfortable is when the service is so terrible that I have to send a message to the individual where I don't leave them a little tip or no tip at all. Many times I'll go into a restaurant and or a bar, and the person will go down there and hang out with his or her friends, and I'm, you know, all by myself down there. And I think it's something that they a bartender or a waitress should think about. You know, each person should be treated equally, not as to hang out with your friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I've, as we were talking about early in the show, Sean, you probably heard it. You know, Debbie and I both have had occasions where we would say something, try to say it politely to the person himself or herself or their manager. But sometimes that's not possible because they'll bring the check over, you give them the payment, they bring that back, and then you don't see them again. So I've actually had occasion to just write notes on the receipts a number of times. And I'll just say something like, you know, food was great. You know, service needed some help or something. But so, yeah, it's there are different ways of but you're right. You know, you don't always get treated with the respect that you want either. This is really does go two ways. You know, you want to be respectful of the dignity and the needs of those who are serving you. And at the same time, they need to make sure that they're on top of, you know, what they need to do for you. So great, great call, Sean.
Yes.
You're welcome. I'll have to end with saying that in the business that I was in, people always treated me so well, and I always respectful of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Thank you for.
Yeah, I agree, Jerry.
Thank
I have
you for
to
taking my call.
Thank you. I have to say, I completely agree with Sean. I mean, in all the years that I was in the hospitality industry, I can name on one hand maybe five times of somebody being back, you know, coming at me, being rude or very disrespectful. Everybody treated me with kindness and respect, and just, it was really beautiful. It was actually a great encounter that we would have. You know, the beauty of the service industry is it's really person to person. And I love that. I love when we can connect and have a name to somebody, and it's just beautiful. You know how I feel about that, Jerry, of really connecting soul to soul.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, Sean made the comment that he always was treated well. And I would say, Sean, if you're still listening, that was probably because you treated people well. It's an easy equation. It's not that complicated to figure out. You know, if you are personable, if you are nice, if you're respectful, friendly, you lend an ear when people need it, go the extra mile for people, Debbie, they are going to recognize that. And in fact, I remember when I was growing up in the state of Washington, when the Seattle Seahawks football team first became a team, and you had the vendors who go throughout the stadium. There was this guy who got to be famous. They'd always show him on TV, and he was leading cheers and stuff. He was a beer vendor, Bill the Beer Man, you know. And the thing was, even there in a football stadium, he connected with the fans in such a way they just really loved. They looked forward to going to the game and interacting with him and just having a great time. So, you know, you can really carve out a very, you know, nice little, you know, living doing this if you just treat people right.
Well, you can, yeah, and you can actually make a very good living. I have to tell you, I've often said that somebody said, well, what would you go back to doing if, you know, if you weren't in ministry? I would totally go back into the hospitality industry. I loved it. I loved being with people. You learn, you meet great. I mean, I met so many celebrities in the hotel business, a lot of professional athletes. I mean, it's really a blast. You meet a lot of people, and it can be a fun job. It's a hard job. You're on your feet all the time. It's tough, but it's also very rewarding. I mean, at my wedding, Jerry, I would say a third of the people we invited were customers of ours.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to Frank here in just a moment. Frank in West Virginia, please do hang on. But we have an open phone line here, and we would like you to participate, weigh in on the conversation. We're talking about tipping gratuities today, how you approach that. If you're in an industry where you depend upon tips, do you withhold tips or maybe shrink them a little bit if you don't get the service that not that you feel, you know, yourself important, but just it just wasn't very good. We're having a Christian conversation about this today because it touches upon really every one of our lives virtually every day. So weigh in at 833-288-3986.
Okay, this is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and we're talking about how you gauge what you tip somebody for the services you receive. And it's, I think it's very important. I think it tells a lot about our personalities and about the way we conduct ourselves in public and the way we treat others and the way others treat us. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. And Jerry, I know you're going to start chuckling because I'm getting a few text messages saying, you know, Deb, they find it interesting how I decide what to tip and what not to tip. I'm not trying to brag, folks. I just was in the hospitality industry for a long time. I know what it's like. It's hard work. And I just like to really respect people's work. And so what I do is when I travel, I go to the bank ahead of time and I get a lot of dollar bills and some $5 bills, and I make sure that I have them in my wallet so I'm ready to go. Because that's the other thing too, is a lot of people don't get prepared, you know, they're not prepared for encountering people who are providing services. And so that can be very embarrassing too. So I always make sure I'm prepared. And then I know you're going to chuckle at this, Jerry, because Jerry cracks up all the time when I do this. But the very first thing I do when I sit down at a table and the server comes over to greet us is I shake their hands and I introduce myself, right, Jerry?
Yeah. I just said ask their name. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do, because you know they're providing a great service and I value that, and it's very important. And I can't, and Jerry, would you agree with this? How many times did the server kind of look surprised when I did that?
Oh, quite often. Yeah. I suspect that they don't receive that kind of personal attention all that often nowadays.
Right. Right. And it's just, I think it's important. It's part of how we live out our Christianity, how we are Christ in the world. And they're going to believe me. Jerry, you know this, we've had a lot of kind of, you know, somewhat deep theological discussions with servers that have come to the table, and it's great. It's a great encounter. So, okay. As promised, Frank has been waiting so patiently in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you today?
Doing well, Frank. How about yourself?
Well, I was listening. I got real troubles with tips. You know, one of the things that I've got a problem with, a lot of times all those tips go in one pile, and it's distributed evenly. I usually leave it on the table, but then also there's times that the waitress... You know, there's someone that cleans up the table other than a waitress. So I don't know if that tip actually gets to the person that waited on me. But that's one of the things. But one of the biggest issues that I wanted to talk about was, you know, you might have a waitress that a child or a... a loved one has medical problems, and you don't know what their day's like. So you need to take that in consideration. You know, when
you're talking about
what kind of a tip you want to give.
You're talking about the person who's doing the service. Yeah, right, right.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
And that applies all throughout your life. You know, you meet someone on the street and you say, like, oh boy, it's a beautiful day. That, just saying that to a person can really make their day much better, you know, because everybody has issues. Everybody does. You don't know what kind of a day they're having.
Yeah. Well, Frank, I think that as Debbie has described her approach, she likes to shake the person's hand, introduce herself, get a little bit acquainted. Obviously, there's not a lot of time to do that, but I think that's just a beautiful way of opening the door for whatever conversation. And a lot of times, Debbie, you and I have experienced, they have heavy things that they want to, you know, share. They need someone to listen to. And again, in the limited amount of time that you have for doing that. And Debbie, I remember one time you and I were doing a pledge drive on the road, and you'll remember this very, very well. The young lady who was waiting on us had a pentagram on a chain around her neck, which is a demonic symbol. Mm-hmm. And she had tattoos all over her that were also, you know, a very, ungodly, if we can put it that way. Mm-hmm. And it just, Debbie, you took the initiative. You opened the door and you just asked her about it. And there wasn't any judgment, but just to draw her attention to the fact that maybe she didn't know, perhaps she did, but maybe she didn't know what the meaning was of that symbol that she had around her neck. So, I think, as we found so many times, people are very, very anxious sometimes just to be able to get something off their chest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and I agree, Frank, it's very important that we don't, you know, kind of judge that just by their first encounter. The other thing too is, you know, a lot of servers and a lot of bussers and folks that are in the hotel and restaurant business, you know, they do want to be acknowledged as well. You know, we want to be acknowledged as customers, but they want to be acknowledged. One of the things that used to drive me crazy is when somebody would wave me over and say, hey, you, come here. I couldn't handle that. I would walk over and I would say, sir, please don't do that. Or ma'am, please, I'm begging you. I felt very degraded. It's not a proper thing. You wouldn't do that to any, would you do that? I mean, would you do that at home? I don't think you would do it at home. Hey, mom, you know, get over here. I guess you could, but that would be rude, right, Jerry?
Oh yeah. 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 And I agree. It is. And I've seen people get angry and be, you know, raising their voices at service people and, mm-hmm. you know, telling them, you know, so everybody can hear, I'm not going to tip you, and get up and walk out in a huff. You know, I mean, you don't need to do that. I think there's a much more beneficial way of handling stuff like that.
Yeah, it's called kindness and respect. And how would you want to be treated? It's like that. And I appreciate your call, Frank. I think it's great. And we just all need to be reminded of that. But, you know, here's the thing, Jerry, people are using their hard-earned money to go out and to go to these restaurants and other places, and they expect a certain level of service. So, I mean, I think we understand that as well. So it's goes both ways. Thanks, Frank. God bless you. Okay, Frank, now you can get started with your weekend. Up next is Jennifer in Lancaster, Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. I want to start off by saying that I love you guys.
Thank you. We love you too.
We love you too. For me,
I listen to you every day. The story I wanted to share is about my sister. Well, it started out with my grandmother being a server her whole life. That's all she ever wanted to do. And my sister, no matter how hard I've tried to get her to come work with me in an office and, you know, make better money, she still continues to serve. She loves it. She's worked at 3 different restaurants now, and all of the people from each restaurant have followed her to the next restaurant and the next restaurant because they know her as a person. They know her personally. And I know that they generally tip her well, but she just started, I don't know, probably 6 months ago at a new place, at a bigger place. And there's a lot of people that she doesn't know so well, and they will not give her enough of a tip, so then she's short on her mortgage or this bill or that bill. And it's just really sad to see that people don't tip like they should. I mean, like, I give a pizza delivery guy $6 and they're jumping for joy.
right. Yeah. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Go ahead.
Please.
Oh, I was going to say her ex-boyfriend used to be a pizza delivery guy, and he would get excited when he got a $1 or $2 tip.
Yeah.
And I just think that's absolutely absurd.
It sounds like your sister leads by example. It sounds like she's really has a great disposition. And like you said, she's chosen to remain in the service industry. You know, I remember my mom, God bless her, raising 5 kids, and she had several jobs usually at any one time, Jennifer and Debbie. And one of those was as a hostess, you know, so my mother basically, you know, had to take care of raising 5 kids. And part of that was working in the service industry. So I remember that how important that was to her, Debbie, that she got, you know, as a hostess, maybe not tipped all that well. I don't know if they shared the tips, but just to be, you know, just to be, have that relationship with people and, you know, be treated with respect.
Right. Well, and that's a good point too. Let's bring that up too, Jennifer. You know, when you go into a restaurant, you first encounter the hostess, and then you get seated and you encounter the server, and maybe the busser, or the busser may come over with water first. And then there's, of course, the managers floating around. You know, some are on, you know, salaries, some are on hourly wages. Then they pool the tips. They could pool the tips between the hostess stand and the bar section, or even the kitchen.
Right.
And so you have to understand the dynamics of it. I ask, I mean, there's no, I would just I just would invite people, please ask. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. I ask all the time. My husband just totally cracks up. I'm like, do you work on tips? And they'll say, yeah. I said, do you pool tips? Yeah, I pool tips. And then I know how to, you know, how to tip. And it's, and they appreciate it. They're like, thank you so much for asking. So would you agree with that, Jennifer?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I do the same thing. I ask if I'm at a new restaurant, do you guys share tips or is this your tip? Because right. that's going to change the dynamic of what I give.
Exactly.
You know, I try to, there's a place that we go to on a regular basis, and they usually, it's only like $10 for dinner and a beer. And I usually tip whatever my bill was. Because my service is so good that we've been going there for so long. But, yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. It's important to ask. And there's another restaurant that I go to that's a little pricey, but my kids love it. And they have the best burgers ever in Lancaster. But I have never asked if they share their tips. So I will next time I go. So thank you.
There you go, Jennifer. Thank you for your call. And thanks for your listenership of the program. We are grateful for that. 833-288-3986. Debbie, we got a great question on YouTube, the video stream. Max is watching the video stream of just you today. I'm not on Skype, but here's a good question for us to ponder for a moment. Max is, so how well are you supposed to tip at buffets? What do you think,
well,
Debbie?
It's my understanding that because you're not being served, you know, well, they're cleaning up your table. So think about that from a busing standpoint, because, you know, usually people go back a couple times to a buffet. I understand that you, and my understanding is you can drop it down, you know, a couple percentage points, you know, down maybe to 10 or 15%. That's my understanding. Now I could be way off, you know, I'm in my 50s, so maybe I'm not up with the times, but you don't necessarily have to tip 20% because you're not really getting that one-on-one, service. I don't know if anybody else wants to weigh in on that. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I'm probably guilty of grossly under tipping at buffets, but I typically will do maybe a max of $2, you know, per person. So if there's, you know, if I'm out with a friend or there's three or four of us, you know, maybe put $4, $5, $6, $8 on there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's just this mental sort of thing. You think, you know what, I was doing all the work, you know?
Right. But like, they have to clean up, you know, your table. Right, so that's always, yeah. No, I get it. People think that all the time. I never used to like to work buffets because of that reason. I will tell you, because a lot of people would just put down a dollar or two and you can't really make a living on that. So it's tough. Buffets are tough. I never used to like them in the hotel. You know, I liked the table service because, you know, you had that. The other thing too, is I want to just share, Jerry, you said you put it down on the table. Well, that's, you know, that's kind of cool for maybe buffets and stuff. But when we go when my husband and I actually go to restaurants, I actually hand the tip
signed receipt.
Yeah, the signed receipt and the little thing they keep it in. I can't even remember. It's Friday. The little folder, the little, you know, table folder. I hand it to the server. I never leave it on the table for many reasons. I mean, you never know who's going to walk by. I've seen people leave $100 bills as a tip on the table. I don't think that's wise. I think you need to hand it right to the person. I'm just saying. That's just me. Mm-hmm. Okay, Bill has been waiting so patiently in Burlington, Wisconsin. Hi, Bill. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
I just wanted to share a little bit how my wife and I treat that going out and things. Many times we will split a meal, and it's not because at all of the price. It's sometimes the portions are so large we feel we don't need to eat that much. So we do it to not overeat, but we still tip as if we both bought a meal. And the thing that sometimes I feel that's overlooked is the idea that we demand good service when we go out, especially at a higher priced place, is really kind of not how we look at it. We appreciate good service, but we don't deserve it because... And you have to hear me out on this before you hear that word, we don't deserve it.
Okay, good.
We are so blessed to be able to go out and have someone cook for us and set our food in front of us and clean up after us. It's such a blessing that not everyone can do. So those, we appreciate the good service, but some waitresses, they might have had a bad day. And to have to come to work and smile at everybody, I know I've come home from work and I have a hard time being pleasant if I had a terrible day. It's a tough job. And, you know, we don't know what their day was like before they came. So we don't necessarily penalize one because we didn't get the service we deserve. We may, if our bill was $18, we might set a $10 bill down. If it looks like a college kid or somebody that's trying to earn a living wage, the percentages are kind of just a thing. It should just come from the heart and realize how fortunate we are to be able to go out, pay the price of restaurant food, and be served. So that's kind of how we do it.
Well, that's a great disposition that you and your wife have, Bill. And I think you make a good point. You know, I think we live in an age, and certainly in this country, in the United States, in a culture, a society, where we feel like we're entitled. You know, we're entitled to a lot of things. I would maybe just, you know, not disagree with you, but just say, you know, we are putting, you know, plunking down our hard-earned money. So I think we're entitled to be, you know, be treated well and to get good service, but not to have people, you know, fawn over us or anything like that. But, and your point is well taken about, you know, we don't know what kind of day they have had and so forth. You know, sometimes I'll make a comparison between that and hosting a radio show like this. Sometimes, you know, Debbie and I have things going on in our lives. You know, we've got to get up and smile for the camera and do the show, and, you know, which we love to do under any circumstances. But, you know, everyone does, Debbie. Everybody has things going on in their lives. And I think we need to just somehow have that at least in the back of our minds and just have that, you know, be cognizant of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, Bill, as you were speaking, it really hit home with me on so many levels because I feel the same way. I mean, that we are so blessed in this country. I remember Jerry, you know, traveling internationally, and so many other countries would say, "Oh, you spoiled Americans. And I at first kind of thought I was a little bit, you know, taken back by that. But then I thought, you know, they're right. I mean, we have so many things at our disposal. So easily, our lives are made convenient by others doing the service work. And so, Bill, I want to tell you, and please, I'm not trying to brag about this, but Jerry knows, I'm kind of germ conscious, if you will. Maybe some people would say I'm a germaphobe. I don't know. But I'm kind of germ conscious. And I'll tell you what, I have really taken time to thank and to tip those restroom attendants. I cannot even begin to tell you when traveling how these folks work so hard in airports and to keep our restrooms clean. And I'll go up to them and I'll say to them, "Thank you so much. You have no idea what that does for me to come in and to have a clean restroom." I said, "Thank you." And people have actually cried. They've cried. They said, "You know what? People ignore us like we don't even exist." And they're doing such a work that most of us would not do, let's face it, okay? And they're doing it so beautifully, and they have pride in their work, and they're doing it for our benefit and to make our lives more convenient and happy, if you will. So I'm right with you, Bill. I totally agree. Anything else you want to share about that?
Well, just what you just said kind of opened my eyes, too. There's so many things going on that people are doing that we don't recognize because we're in our own world. But just what you said, to thank someone for keeping the restrooms clean, they probably don't hear that very often. And when they do, it probably changes the attitude for the rest of their evening or day or whatever. So thanks for that little tip, too, just recognizing others. For what they do for us is great. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Bill. I'm like you, Debbie. Yeah, I have had many an interesting reaction when, you know, you go into a restroom at the airport. And I don't know what it is. You know, they're doing a great service for us. But like you said, I think they get not only overlooked, but greatly disrespected, you know, because people are in a hurry. You know, you just got to get in, get out. You know, you're kind of throwing elbows to get, you know, get a place to, you know, do what you have to do. And you see these individuals, they're trying to work around all of these people and trying to, they're doing a totally thankless job. So I don't think I've had anybody come to tears quite yet. Pretty close. Mm-hmm. When I'll give them, you know, $5 or $10 and just, I'll say, "Thank you for what you do," you know, and Yep. Hopefully other people do that. I'm not trying to sound like I'm, you know, bragging or anything, but I just...
Oh, yeah, I'm not either. And the same with housekeeping. I feel the same way about housekeeping in hotels. And I've met a lot of wonderful friends. I can call friends in the housekeeping department. I think they're wonderful. And what they do, I mean, another thankless, you know, position, and they're making our lives, you know, better. I'm very grateful. And I agree with Bill. I think we just need more gratitude in our hearts for the things that are around us that God has blessed us with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where are we going to go next?
How about, Carolyn? Carolyn's in, Fort Morgan, Colorado, listening on Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Carolyn. Thanks for waiting. You got our virtual patients award today. Congratulations. Welcome.
All right. Thank you. Well, I'm just going to make it quick and then hang up. But, when my family goes to hotels, we do pay your tip. The housekeeping, we leave money on each of the pillows that we've slept on for however many people is in there. And then we tip the person who's running the free breakfast. We tip them. And we usually do, when we eat out, at a 20 to 25% tip. And I know there was one, my hairdresser. I tip my hairdresser too. So... that's all I wanted to say, and I'm going to go ahead and hang up now because I got to get going.
Okay. Bless you, Caroline. I feel like a cheapskate now, Debbie, after Caroline's call, because when I go to hotels, I may have walked past my room before, you know, when we're staying in the same hotel. I put up the do not disturb sign, even if I'm going to be there for 3, 4, or 5 days. And it's not because I don't want to, avoid having to tip them. It's just because I get into my room, you know, I tear it apart and make it just exactly the way I want it to be. I don't want someone messing up my room by coming in and cleaning up, straightening up.
Yeah, but they're probably grateful they don't have to check on your room every day. So, yeah.
Well, I've wondered about that, because if they're paid by the hour, then that's a little less time that they have. And so I've pondered all these things, but really, I do get the room just the way I want it. And, you know, they do great work. They do great work. It's just not work that I want to have done in my room.
Right. But you know what? I like conversations like this, because I think we can help one another, and just we can grow and learn and make these encounters that we have with people around us. I think we can make them, you know, very fruitful in so many ways. I just think it's very important we get back to soul connection, folks. We have these gadgets that keep us apart, and as we know, it's not healthy for us physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So this is actually a great conversation. I'm loving it. Do we have time for Christine real quickly, Jerry?
Yeah, what do you think?
Okay, Christine, we're so sorry. The clock is racing so fast. You're in Fort Wayne, Indiana on Redeemer Radio, but take it away, Christine.
Okay, well, I just thought it was timely, and I would think I was hearing some of your previous callers. I went out to eat with some three friends, and we're all in our 60s and 70s, to a little famous Coney Dog stand or restaurant in town. And obviously, each of our individual bills were very cheap, $3, whatever. Well, my friends got up and they made a comment. Well, we're going to give them 20%. So they were leaving like 60 cents. One of them said 75 cents. And I just, I kind of looked at them and things and whatever. So they started leaving. I went back and I left a lot more because, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So I went back and gave more money. And because the server had been wonderful, he took our picture and everything. So about an hour later, after I had cooled down, I commented to them. I said, I'm really surprised that you three were so cheap in your tipping. And they're like, well, you know, we gave 20%. And I said, did you see that guy? He's our age. Do you really think he's working? Do you think he really wants to be working at a hot dog joint and getting 60 cent tips? And they were not happy with me at first. But then one of them came back and said, I am so glad that you just kind of identified what we had done. So that's all I have to say.
Deb?
Well, I'm kind of chuckling because, Christine, I do the same thing. I have a lot of friends. They're wonderful. I love my friends. And if you're listening right now, you guys are great. But sometimes I just feel like the person deserved a couple dollars more. So I will actually wait in the parking lot and go back and meet that server and say, hey, you know, I just felt like I needed to give you a couple dollars more. And I agree with you. But I think if we educate one another, like your friends did at first, maybe they didn't quite receive it well, but then they were grateful, you know? So I think it's great. We need to help one another on how to really be the best we can be out there in public. I love it, Christine. Thank you so much. Tom and Judy and Kathy and the others, we're not going to get to you today, but you can always catch our best of, which is on Saturday, What Has Failure Taught You? It's a great opportunity. That was a great discussion we had in Monday's show, Jerry. It's all about large families, and you're from a large family. So am I, Jerry. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the dynamics of having been raised in a large family, or maybe you're raising a large family right now. So that's coming up on Monday. Until then, Debbie and I and the show team wish you a beautiful and blessed weekend.